Welcome to Blue Monday, where we visit Kalabalik på Tyrolen. We are back from the very best festival for electronic music, synth music in Sweden, Kalabalik på Tyrolen, in the small town of Blädinge, outside the slightly larger but still very small town of Alvesta.
I'm not sure if Blädinge is a town, but...
In the small suburb of Alvesta is tiny and Blädinge is even tinier.
Yeah.
But it has this really old dance park from the 50s, wooden and lots of weird portraits, hand-painted, and once a year our friend Christopher has a festival there. He has like a magic touch when it comes to booking artists I've never heard of before, but that are really, really good. And this year was the first year that we went there for Blue Monday to listen to a lot of good music and to talk to some of the people who performed. Peter, what was your favorite performance?
Oh, there's too many to mention, really, but it's like, I think this was my fifth year. And if you listen to this and you haven't been there, you really have to go. It's like the coolest place. I can't choose just one or two because you meet so many people. I met the guy from DK Records. He flew all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, he came from all across the world and he's not even performing. He was just there. I think Gertrude Stein was really cool because I've never seen her before. And that was a energetic, very happy set. I really enjoy that. Staatsfeind, I could only see a few minutes of them, but I bought two records from them, and they're very good as well. And there was a lot of Russian post-punk this year. Molchat Doma and, what was the other name? Ploho, yeah, exactly. And those bands were great. Christopher, he played a few tracks when he visited, in his episode. And he played a few of them, and they were really good. Hatari was really cool.
Peter, you saw some stuff late on Saturday night that you really liked.
It was a bit too late, to be honest, because I was really tired, but Cell Död was like amazing. I've seen him so many times before, and I think this was probably the best set. And Visitor from Canada, and they had passport issues, apparently. But they really, that was a really good set as well. I didn't see the last band, Diskoteket, because I think I gave up at 1:30 in the morning and I'm way too old to be up that late.
It's very end of August when the festival is every year, and very end of August in Sweden can mean 20 plus degrees and beautiful summer nights.
Yeah.
But those times that I've been there, it means like 8 degrees and slightly rainy. We didn't get rain this year, which was good. We managed to avoid it, but it was pretty cold. Anders, what was your experience of the festival?
Well, it's all the bands are good or great in some way, so it's just have to watch everything. I think the most surprising band was, I think it was Gertrude Stein for me, that made an impact. But I also really enjoyed that there was such a huge, what do you call it, span between bands that were, it seemed like their first gig ever, that were really nervous and sort of a bit clumsy. And I really enjoy watching that because I like that too. And then to the other end, bands that were really professional.
Well, like Dirk Evans in Dive, for instance. Yeah,
super professional, and also Hatari, who are, I guess, young and not that experienced, but had like a show that was, It was like you were on the stage for 30,000 people. Yeah. It was like lighting, video, and like a performance that was...
Let's talk about Hatari for a bit, because I was... I just didn't know what to think. It was like I was totally awestruck, because it was like getting punched in the face somehow by their show. And then I think as days gone by after, I think I've realized that that was really, really great. Ótæmandi listi vonbrigða sjálfsvorkunnar bóttaðu stimpli fyrir litningar dagur sérhver biðröð mistaka. And now I find myself looking at other performances on YouTube and listening to them on Spotify. Icelandic band, like you said, very young, but like almost perfection already in the performance and the sound. I think this is going to be, it's going to be huge.
No, I think so too. This was the first set they did abroad. So they've never been abroad playing before with Hatari.
No, the first set outside of Iceland, And great things will come from
Yeah,
from
you just
stuff.
have to get over the fear.
Yeah, you were scared when you saw
that. Yeah, so I got scared. It was scary,
the one guy is like staring you in the face, the whole in your eyes and screaming at you. And the other one is crooning, and it was weird.
And there's such a nice guy. I met him at the hotel. I was sitting there with Paul from Blip Blop, Dr. Sunt.
Yeah.
And we just had a chat with them. They were super nice.
We got the chance to chat for a little bit with Gertrude Stein, and I asked her if she had ever been to Sweden before, if this was her first time in the country.
It's not my first time in Sweden, actually. I went to, you know, the ferry that goes from Denmark to Gothenburg or something?
To Malmö, yeah.
Malmö, I like that. So I've taken this ferry when I think I was 12 with my dad, and I was shocked.
Why?
Because everyone was absolutely, completely and utterly drunk.
Oh, this is something that doesn't happen in Switzerland.
Well, we don't have ferries because Switzerland is not an island.
It's landlocked.
It's landlocked.
Yeah.
But
you think the drunkenness is only on ferries?
But that's what the girl I was talking to tonight said. It's like, actually, that's what these ferries are for. You think they're for taking you from point A to B, but no, that's not the point.
They're actually for buying cheap alcohol and getting drunk. Yes.
So yeah, I've been to Sweden before. Yeah. I've seen things you can't unsee.
Yeah.
Especially when you're 12.
But is this your first time performing in Sweden then?
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of this place? Because it's quite a unique place.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
I'm so happy to be here. Actually, I was talking to Christopher, the organizer, saying, "Oh my God, this year I think I have to catch a plane and come to the festival." And he said, "No, you shouldn't." And I was like, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "You shouldn't come here." And I was like, "Okay." He said, "You should play here." And "Okay." Yeah.
We caught your show, and it was quite interesting the way you were. It seemed like you had more of an almost like a happening performance rather than just being on stage doing your songs.
I like the fact you say interesting, because now I live in the UK, you know, and when we say something interesting, it's, oh, that's interesting.
Oh, it's a negative. No,
yeah,
no,
it means, that was...
No, I meant shit. We were standing there.
I know what you mean.
We were standing there looking at each other. This is different. This is weird. We love it.
Weird is good.
Yeah, weird
I like
is very,
weird.
Very good.
Yeah.
We thought we were feeling like, correct me if I'm wrong, but was it like a cross between Did we see Cyndi Lauper meet Superman somewhere on stage? I mean, it
one,
just felt
one
like,
question.
Yeah.
Did you feel like it was 1983?
Yes.
That's good then.
And 1983 is the best year.
It is, I think. Yeah, they also are getting wrong after 95 because they invented the DX7.
Yeah.
And then everyone was going, you know, for like fake horns and
yeah,
you
exactly.
know these presets, you mm-hmm. hear everything.
Yeah.
So 93, yeah.
What would you good. Say are your biggest influences?
I listen to a lot of different music because I've worked for a music distributor, so I had to get used to African music and things like that. I think that's probably got an influence. I just like DIY.
Yeah.
I really like. Whether it's some people recording stuff at the back of a shack in Dakar,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
or if it's things like The Normal,
yeah,
or things like 1979. I've got a drum machine. I've got a thin. Both of them don't work, but I'm gonna record something anyway. I like that.
Make do with what you have.
Exactly.
And express yourself, no matter what.
Just don't. I mean now. Nowadays, you can have 120 channels of plugins on your computer and everything. Does that make your music better? I mean, the important thing is the idea. You just have an idea about a song. And I only make a song if I have an idea. I only sit in the studio where I want to sing something about this or that.
So it starts with an idea.
Yeah.
And then you feel like I have to express
usually
this
somehow. I need to complain about something.
It's not happy stuff. It always has to be something.
I did a few happy songs recently because I've had happy things happening and for once they inspired me a song.
Yeah.
But usually it's you're on your own, you're sitting in your room and you're like you just go like doo, 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 and you're in a mood,
yeah,
you know. You
yeah.
want to say something. You're not quite sure what you want to say, but you want to say something. And
yeah.
that's how it starts.
Was it always a given for you to be doing electronic music?
I've had a band before, which was called Fleisch am Frühstück, meat for breakfast, because I was doing this low-carb diet.
Yeah, so it was all about flesh.
It was
more bacon, more fat.
It was burgers yeah. and tins of sardines in the morning, and
yeah.
my friends were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you eating?
Yeah,
meat
so for breakfast.
It became that, because we had friends of ours open up a bar, and right across the road was my studio. But at the time, I was doing techno, believe it or not.
Mm.
And but we went like, let's make a band. And I had this friend who was playing guitar, like, you know, in the Sisters of Mercy, like, that's all she could do, but she did it really well.
Well, you only need one string.
Exactly.
Then,
and I had an old drum machine, so we started playing with that. And it became a kind of punk band.
Okay.
So that wasn't very electronic. But then I had all these half-finished techno songs. And then they suddenly became Gertrude Stein songs because I was sick of the techno scene. It's terrible.
So the Gertrude Stein moniker came out of like an unhappiness with the techno scene.
It came out of unhappiness with the techno scene and it came out of unhappiness with the... Do you know that band Nouvelle Vague?
Yeah.
I mean, I was already really offended by what they were doing because
okay.
they was turning every record I liked into elevator music, which is bad enough. But then I heard an interview of them where they once said something along the lines of, maybe I'm making this up, I don't know, but along the lines of, oh, we wanted to prove these are great songs, so we turned them into bossa nova. And I was like, what? So I thought, I'm going to do the opposite. So I took a Schlager song, which is Tanze Samba mit mir.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah,
changed, yeah. turned that into the most deliberately wave dark sort of kind of song, which it's not
so you,
that dark really, but
yeah,
that
but
was
were,
the idea.
You were doing easy listening into goth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm really tempted to do more cover versions, but at the same time, I think I quite like to sing about my own topics.
Yeah.
It's about men on tube in London.
Yeah, the subway, yeah.
The subway, yeah, you call it.
What do the men do there?
Oh, it's when I moved to London, I thought all the men were really good looking after having to put up with Switzerland.
Oh, Swiss men are not good looking?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
No, it's still that mentality where they can sort of think they can go out in their pajamas, but it's the girls that make all the efforts. Men in Switzerland don't know what a haircut is, for example. So I came to London, I was like, wow, these people actually dress and shave and do their hair and everything. And I was like, oh, these men look great. So there's a song about that. Yeah, it's very random sort of thoughts. I'm singing about an ex-boyfriend. I'm singing about economics.
Yeah.
There's a new song is about economics.
Like the study of economics.
All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the theory of economics and how it fucks everything up in the way people think about stuff. It's called monotony.
Situationen moderiert, in denen sich mehrere Teilnehmer gegenseitig beeinflussen. Sie versuchen unter anderem, das rationale Entscheidungsverhalten in sozialen Konfliktsituationen abzuleiten. Die Spieltheorie ist ursprünglich ein Zweig der Mathematik.
In London, you see really how late stage capitalism just really eats up everything, especially in terms of music. A lot of my friends that were doing music moved away just because it's so expensive. I never play in London apart from one or two venues who book me regularly because nobody's got money to pay anything, and then you end up playing at the back of a toilet somewhere. Which I'm happy to do for friends, but I mean, it seems that's just all the scene's got to offer. I'm also organizing parties there, but it's just really hard.
Yeah.
So, and it
doesn't seem to be much of an electronic scene in London, is
no,
there?
I think I am the electronic
scene. You are the electronic scene, yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
And the other people have moved.
Yeah.
So I think I'm the only one left.
In Sweden, there's an electronic scene, but it seems like it's almost stagnant, like it's been stuck in the 80s and the 90s. Maybe that
that's
fits
great.
You. Yeah, maybe that suits you.
Nothing wrong with that.
Does it seem like you're visiting a museum when you are here at this old, run-down park in the middle of nowhere?
Mm.
Yeah.
There's definitely a time travel element in here,
yeah.
Which is it's nice. It's
yeah.
Really nice.
Monotony by Gertrude Stein there at the end. Such a interesting character and such a...
Delightful person.
Delightful yeah. Personality and such a great performance. She was wearing... I kept saying Cyndi Lauper, but I didn't really mean Cyndi Lauper. I meant Laurie Anderson. Mm-hmm. It was... Somehow she reminded me of Laurie Anderson and I just couldn't... Yeah, anyway, very, very cool performance and very, very cool sound.
I'm really annoyed that I missed the interview when you met up with her because I don't know what I was doing at the time. I wasn't drinking for sure because I don't drink, but I missed it.
Yeah.
So I'm so sad.
She was great.
Yeah.
That we had a good time. We had to leave on Sunday morning, which was too bad because Alison from Linja Aspera and Kieluar and from her own solo project, Tanyas, had a special show in the church on Sunday morning, where she did some of her ambient stuff, and it would have been great to see. But we did get a chat with her, and she was hanging out at the festival, and I got to ask her a little bit about Fleisch and what else is going on. sitting here at Kalabalik på Tyrolen with Alison from the several famous projects. Thank you so much for being on Blue Monday.
Oh, thank you for having a chat with me.
Are you, you've lost your voice almost.
A little bit, how is it? Yes. It's getting a little bit better, and fingers crossed that after another good night's sleep, I'll be back to normal.
Because tomorrow you are doing something very special. Tell us about it.
Well, tomorrow I'll be performing at Blædinge Church, and it'll be my first time performing in a church and my first time attending a Sunday service at my own accord.
And my grand,
yes, ever. I attended some church services as a child, but the atheist that I am, I couldn't really enjoy them very much.
Actually, Swedish church, they're almost atheist too.
Yeah, so I've heard. I really like how progressive they are here, and it makes me really happy. I heard that the priest last year referred to God as a she, and that resonates very well with me.
Yeah. So last night, it was quite cold here at the festival.
It was freezing.
Is that why you lost your voice?
Yes, yeah. It is, because I'm a tropical bird and I really can't handle the cold.
You live in Berlin now.
I live in Berlin, which is a very unfortunate choice considering my tendency to get very cold, but I love it there, so it'd be hard to leave.
So you were here last night. What did you see that you liked? We had a nice chat with Gertrude Stein. Did you get to catch her performance?
Oh, yes, I did. And she was the main person I really wanted to see last night, because I've actually known Gertrude Stein for 8 years now. And we were friends in London, and I hadn't seen her in, I think, 5 years or maybe three. But it had been a very long time. So seeing her last night was fantastic. It was sad to not see her for a long time. I'll put it that way.
But she had a great performance here last night, and it really resonated well with the audience here in
Sweden. Oh, yeah. I mean, she belongs at this festival. It was perfect. And as so many of my friends had no idea that she was even from today. They thought she was from the 80s, and they were so excited that she was playing.
Yeah, I was comparing her a little bit to like Cyndi Lauper. It's just this 80s persona
on stage. It's Cyndi Lauper and Klaus Nomi's love child.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I thought it was really good. And when I was walking around the festival talking to people, that was the name that kept coming back, was Gertrude Stein.
Yes.
So that was really cool.
I'm so proud of her, really.
In Swedish synth pop or wave music, we have quite a deficiency of women. It seems that all the groups are men.
That's
all the
music
musicians
everywhere.
Are men.
There's music everywhere, and it's terrible. It is 100% down to the fact that women are raised to not be confident in themselves. And the number one thing you need to be able to do in music is be confident in yourself, because you're putting yourself out there. And I don't believe it's down to a lack of interest. I truly do believe it's down to a lack of role models and a lack of confidence. And the more women we see up there on stage, the better. You know, I have to put it down to partly Gertrude Stein. She was one of the first solo female artists I saw perform. And she showed me that it was possible. And it was her and Zola Jesus and Grimes. And without the three of them, I probably would never have had the confidence to go off on my own the way I did.
I think one of the things that strikes me a lot when I listen to both Linja Aspera and Keloar, and of course your new stuff, is just the power behind your vocals. You're really not afraid to take up space and take up room. A lot of female artists are kind of like more drawn back, or you know, kind of being a little careful, and you're very powerful in the way you express yourself. And do you think that's the way forward for more female artists to see that you'll be a role model for others?
Oh, definitely. And in fact, I've had a few women approach me and tell me that seeing me play has made them want to make music themselves, and that's one of the best things I can possibly hear. That is literally music to my ears. And I have to thank my mother a lot, because she raised me to never be afraid of who I was and never be afraid to express myself. Sometimes to the detriment of my reputation, but at least it means that I'm never quiet.
Yeah, that's good. That works for you. Mm. Tell me a little bit about Fleisch Records and what's going on with that.
Well, Fleisch Records began as a collective. There were seven of us in Berlin. We were all expats that had moved there and were really into EBM. So we started a basement party. And over the years, we realized that a lot of the artists we loved didn't have an outlet for their sound. So we started putting out records. And since then, the collective has fractured a bit and people have had their own lives to focus on. So I've taken over and running the label and it's going really well. I've been getting such good feedback and more artists have approached us and I've found more artists that I want to release. So now we have a totally packed schedule. We have some amazing, amazing records coming out. Lucy Cliché, the first woman we're releasing on Fleisch, finally. Finally, we're releasing a woman. Yeah. We've got a record coming out from her in the next few weeks. And we also have a record from Multiple Man ready that we'll be putting out. And a lot more that's still secret, but I really can't wait.
Sounds like it's keeping you busy.
Yes, very busy.
Yeah. So how do you decide what artist you want to release? How hard is that process? Somebody sends you a file or a link to listen to something. What is it that makes you feel, okay, yeah, this I really want to release?
If I can imagine playing it at a Fleisch party and then I test it, I'll take it to Fleisch and I'll play it in one of my sets. And if the audience reacts, then I know that it's right. And that's how I've done it with every single new artist that we've released. It's purely that, like, does it fit the vibe of this thing we've created? Because Fleisch is a very unique atmosphere. It's a party that's so based on friendship and love, and it sounds quite hippy-dippy to put it like that, but really, like, we just all love EDM. And still today, when I hang out with other members of the collective, particularly Hayden, Face Fatale, we had a moment on the Berghain dance floor recently listening to Terence Fixmer and he was playing this incredible body music set and we were just like, this is EBM, we love EBM. And it's the spirit of Fleisch, that's what it is.
Sometimes a lot of the music, especially the music that you perform, has been described as cold or distant. Whereas I feel like, especially with your voice, there's a lot of power, there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of intensity. Mm. What do you think, where does this idea of this being cold music, where does it come from? Is it still a leftover device from when it was synthesizers rather than guitars and then machines can't have feelings?
Yeah,
so where does it come from?
Yeah, I think it is coming from that a little bit. People haven't warmed up to the idea that machines can express human emotions sometimes even better than the humans can. And also, I think whenever someone hears a voice drenched in reverb, they immediately think of distance, whereas really I'm using the reverb as a way of creating space. I'm not creating distance, I'm creating a whole different universe. And I think people who really get it, they can feel the warmth, they can feel how the intensity and the closeness that I'm trying to get.
So what's coming out for your own solo project? What's next?
I just finished my album and I guess I can give it away. The title is Into the All and it'll be coming out within the next few months on Candela Rising.
Cool. And what can we look forward to? More cold music? Or what have you gone in a different direction?
I'm going in a number of directions. The album really does encompass every part of me. I didn't want to release 10 of the same thing over and over again. So there's 10 tracks and every single one is expressing a totally different world. However, it's a very conceptual album and it's meant to take you on a journey. And it's all based upon the journey of humans from being unconscious to conscious to enlightened. So there's a lot to it. It's a very intense album.
We'll look forward to it. Thank you so much for taking your time to talk to us here. And I hope you have a good evening here and that
you
get your voice back and try to stay warm in cold Sweden. And
what
do you look forward to seeing tonight?
Tonight, I really want to see Seldöd.
Yep.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Seldöd, yeah.
And Visitor. Visitor is what I'm really holding out for because
they had a troubled flight from Canada.
So I heard, yes, the 6-month passport issue. I had that once. I had that, and it's very stressful.
Follow the Body by Sanyas. Great person to talk to. Such a huge influence on me personally. I love Linnea Aspera. I love Kelluar and just her voice and what she's done with taking this music into the next level. I think is just amazing. And really a great person to work with. And
she promised to deliver more great music on Fleisch Records. She told me that in person, so I'm going to hold it to
you. Do you buy everything that comes out on Fleisch Records?
I do, yeah, for sure.
You're like the greatest customer.
Probably, yeah, for a lot of labels, to be honest. Collector and nerd.
You buy way too much. We also got to have a little chat with David from Luminance, because he was there playing the synthesizers behind Geoffroy in Position Parallèle. Position Parallèle, a French minimal synth band, quite poppy, a little more poppy than you were expecting, right, Anders?
Yeah, a bit. I hadn't heard them before the show. The intro song was really, really great. And
Gangrène,
yeah, and that was sort of a bit more groovy than the rest of the set was more, but I liked it.
So Peter got to have a little chat with David, and of course I couldn't keep quiet, so I'm jumping in with a couple of questions as well.
So we're at Kalabalik and we're with David of Luminance.
Hello.
So nice that you're taking your time talking to us.
So nice.
We had a nice chat this morning about electronic music in general and stuff. Mm. And first of all, this could have started really badly because I thought you were from Belgium, but you're not.
Okay, I'm French. Come on, I'm French. But yeah. I'm Belgian. I'm considering myself Belgian for 10 years because I've been living there for like 10 years. So. Yeah. People are so different in Belgium.
Is
than,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's black and white, seriously. And I was really tired with France. And okay. I found in Belgium something that I've been lacking in France for, yeah.
So let's talk about Luminance, because that's your main product, right?
Yeah.
You just finished a tour with Pure Ground from the US.
Yeah.
And you went all around Europe.
Yeah. The tour lasted from, I would say, 28 days,
wow.
So almost a month. But we had 21 gigs.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of
it
cool.
Was
those
quite intense.
Those guys are great, by the way. Yeah, that's really nice.
It sounds cliche, but I really found friends.
Yeah, they are.
Really.
It's so cool because I think I played a track in the podcast, and there's one side, it's like the Pure Ground side, and then you are guests on one of the tracks, and then on the other side, it's like the opposite, which is kind of cool. Who came up with that idea?
I would say both of us. We met like 3 years before releasing the split, before the tour and everything, because they came to play in Brussels and I was on the same bill. And we became like friends at that time and constantly chatting and talking on the internet about diverse subjects. And at one point it was obvious that we had to do something together, because even though we have a very different form of expressing feelings, the feelings that are expressed are basically the same, and so we had to do something together. It was logical, only logical, and we came to this idea that it would be super cool to feature.
Like gearheads and we're geeks.
Yeah.
So what was your first synthesizer?
The first synthesizer I got was a DX9.
Oh, that's not too bad. That's almost vintage now.
That's almost vintage now, and it was a long shot actually. and I tried. It. Yeah, you know the DX series that are like those FM synthesis. It's really, if you begin synthesis with this, you are completely lost. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's like mathematics translated into a synthesizer.
Yeah, it's impossible to create a sound from scratch.
And
unless you have Yelling House, some DX programmer.
Or if your name is Brian Eno.
Yeah, exactly.
I forgot about him. Yeah.
I actually found like a page in a magazine like from 1984. You found it?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, with his patches.
Yeah,
and he tells you exactly what to put in to make the Brian Eno sounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He shares three patches, and I took one hour and a half to program it into my synth, and it sounded like crap. But like the of course Brian Eno is not going to give you his best patches, you know.
Of course.
For free.
Yeah. Anyway, no, it was a DX9, and so I didn't know what I was doing with it. I basically understood what the filter was, you know, and there was no filter on it. And I tried, and I was convinced that I could do something with it. And so this is where the imagination and the limitation of those kind of gear is very interesting, is because you want to do something with it. Even though you don't master it, you find other ways. So I put a lot of effects on it and everything, and Yeah. In a way, it was a good first synthesizer because it was not easy. It was not, you know, a subtractive synthesizer with everything is more obvious than just, you know, FM. So yeah, it was the DX9.
Now you're here playing keyboards or synthesizers behind Position Parallèle.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us, how did that collaboration come along?
Ahmed Geoffroy, I was a fan of Dernière Volonté, his other project. I met him through Andy Julia, who was the singer of my former band, Soror Dolorosa. That was a gothic rock band. And Andy played the drums in Dernière Volonté. And so eventually we met. Actually, I was fan of Soror Dolorosa before joining them. And the first gig I saw from them was in Paris, and they were opening for Dernière Volonté. But I didn't know any one of them back then. But with time, we became. I joined Soror Dolorosa, and then I was introduced to Geoffroy, and everything began like that, you know.
Is this your first time in Sweden, or have you been here before?
No, I've played this festival 2 years ago with my project. And
what happened? Could you tell us what happened during the set?
Yeah, the stage broke.
No,
not the stage, the system, the PA, broke. It happens so much. I really have bad vibes with the electronics. I don't know why I do electronic music, seriously. But
I was there, and it was a good set. Yeah, I saw it.
Well,
for sure.
Okay, thank you. As long as you take it, you know, easy, don't stress, it can happen. So yeah, the PA broke, and I went into the crowd and drinking stuff while it was fixed, and everything was good. But it happened again in Berlin, like in the tour.
Oh.
Yeah. Always the biggest events. Always the events of where there are the most people and where you expect so much. This is the place where it's going to...
But it's been a few years now since there was a release from you. Do you have anything cooking? Anything exciting?
Well, a few years. I got a split six
true.
Months ago.
Oh,
come
yeah,
on.
True. Yeah, that's true.
No, but it's not a proper release. I know what you mean. Yeah, the new album is ready.
Oh.
It's complete. I've been working on it like for 4 years, and I never stopped. So, but it takes a shitload of times to achieve a proper object, because I go in so many directions that to have something a bit harmonious and logical in its evolution. I have basically, it took me 4 years to have those 10, 13, I don't remember how many tracks, 10 tracks that would fit to this particular aesthetic that I want for the album to have. But that means that I have four, maybe 10 times more tracks that would fit in other kind of aesthetics, you know?
So you're saving them for later, perhaps, even.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know if it would fit for Luminance, because I kind of want to keep codes for this project. Mm. It has to be very emotionally charged. It has to be a bit, it has to be dark, actually. I decided that Luminance has to be dark, a bit cynical, a bit like critical, with criticism. And but I'm not only that, so I have a lot of Italo disco tracks, I have a lot of really uplifting, really shoegazy kind of tracks. That's why I actually decided to begin a new project, like now, I think it's September, it should begin, that will be aimed at purely beautiful and worryless things.
It would under what name?
Because Luminance has to be like very, under what name?
Yeah.
Do I tell you? Yeah, Emerald Springs.
Emerald Springs. Yeah. And who's gonna release that?
I don't know. It's just the beginning.
Okay.
I didn't even think about that.
You heard it here first. That's an exclusive. That's so cool.
Yeah. And I actually wanted to do a melting pot of every dreamy and positive things I found in many different genres. Like if I hear to a pop track, a shoegaze track, Italo track, there is always a component in there that really makes me like it. It's this dreamy thing that happens sometimes, but it's not the core of this specific genre. But I wanted to link all of them. So yeah, that's the aim of it.
Great Sinister with Silent Nails by Luminance. So great experience at the festival. I can't wait until next year. I was really tired after 2 days of so much music and so many impressions. And it was great to come home and get some sleep. But as soon as I had done sleeping, I was like, okay, when can we go again?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what Christopher comes up with next year, if he musters the strength to pull this off once again.
Well, he promised 10 years.
Yeah, okay. So two more then, right?
Yeah, at least.
At least.
He should do like a mid-term festival in the winter.
Indoors.
Indoor festival. Still in Blädinge.
Indoors in Blädinge. That's not even possible.
Yeah. Well, we hope to see all of you next year at Kalabalik in August. Just keep your eye out and go ahead and check them out on Facebook so you don't miss when the tickets go on sale. Book your train to Alvesta and we'll see you there and hang out next year. If you stay at the hotel when you come to the festival, you get free breakfast, and the breakfast buffet is like the biggest, most awesome breakfast buffet I've ever seen. They have a chocolate fountain.
Yeah, you tried it.
Yes, I did.
What did you dip in the chocolate fountain?
I dipped everything I could dip into the chocolate fountain. I was going to dip some bacon.
Everything?
Yeah. I was going to dip some bacon, but I was afraid the staff was going to yell at me.
Yeah. They do have vegan stuff as well. Yeah. A lot of vegan food, actually. So it's really good. And it's like, it's so nice at the hotel.
An alternative to staying at the hotel is to rent a caravan.
You can stay at the campground. Yeah. Of course, you can also have a tent and stay at the tent by the festival. But
I heard about this service called Vagnify, which is some people rented a caravan by a company called Vagnify, which is that it's like Airbnb, but it's a caravan.
Yeah, and they deliver it to the place and you stay and then they take it away when you're done.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there's a lot of options to stay. You can rough it, you know, tent for free. You can rent a caravan, or you can stay at the wonderful Hotel Rådmanna.
We must give a lot of love to Christopher and all the crew.
Wonderful.
So great food as well.
Very, very good food, and vegan food as well.
Yeah.
Very, very good. So thanks to everybody at Kalabalik, and thanks to all of our listeners. And it will soon be a Blue Monday again.